is not as diverse as we would expect, but I do see a very positive trend towards diversity in the not-for-profit sector in general, and in particular in the environmental not-for-profit sector. So it is upon us to actually make that difference, and I'm really excited that we are part of that, making the difference.
What's the impact or what are the consequences if we don't have diversity in the leadership of these NGOs and these environmental advocacy groups?
I personally believe that it's all a matter of relevancy. If our work doesn't really connect to a huge part of the population, let's talk about Colorado, for example. The statistics is that in the next 10 years, one in four kids under 10 years old will be Latino. And, you know, many of us love to enjoy the outdoors. And if you go to the outdoors, you will see how many Latino families are outside. I was in Lyons at the park on Saturday with my family. And I can tell you, more than 50% of the people next to the creek, the San Fran Creek, were all Latino families enjoying the full day. And so unless we really work with and engage that community, every time we're going to be less relevant. And that's not where we want to go.
I have heard from people on the Western Slope, and this will bring us to the Colorado River aspect of the piece that you're going to be participating in the upcoming conference. Mm-hmm. People are concerned about the ongoing water diversions from the Western Slope to growing urban areas here on the Eastern Slope of Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to a farmer recently in Paonia, who said that you're taking our water and it's not for beneficial use because you're putting it on lawns and you're putting it in parks. Here we're growing food. Here we have it in the rivers and it creates a beautiful environment. But I got to thinking, people can't always travel to the Western Slope to engage in recreation, and particularly people in urban areas, right. Maybe Latinos, kids don't have access to go to the national parks, who don't get to go to the western part of Colorado. And yet for them, there is beneficial use in irrigating lawns, irrigating parks, because that's how they engage with nature. And so there seems to be there's conflict there. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I fully agree with you that it's a conflict. As you know, in Colorado, 80% of the water resources come from the Western Slope, yet 80% of the population is on the Eastern Slope. And when you see the demographic trends, the Front Range, it will be heavily impacted by that trend as well, 100,000 people moving to the state every year. But that's why it's so important to work on water conservation throughout the state and not only one area or the other. You mentioned a word that is key and that is beneficial use, and that's a technical term, as you know. And so part of the work that we at the Nature Conservancy and others have been working is really broadening the word beneficial use, because I think in the past, historically, beneficial use was only related to irrigation for farming or industrial use, but water for conservation or for recreation was not considered beneficial use. And so we have been working from the policy perspective to broaden that definition as well. And so I fully agree with you that it needs to be broadened up to recreation and conservation. And yes, kids in any diverse communities need to have the same access as anyone, no matter where they are in the state.
What are your thoughts on access to our wild, beautiful mountainous areas for kids in urban areas whose families maybe don't have the resources to either pay for a park pass, sure, who don't have the transportation? Sure. Are we doing enough to get them to parts of the state that other more affluent and very often white people get to enjoy more than, you know, people in urban areas?
It is an excellent question, and that's why last March we launched this Urban Conservation Initiative, and that is actually bringing and kind of minding the gap between the wild open spaces and the cities. And we have been working with the Trust for Public Land and the Denver Museum of Nature and Science and Denver Zoo. So it's a pretty broad coalition that we're all thinking about the same, bringing, you know, many, I think statistically, underprivileged kids in Denver, 75% have never been to the mountains, and they see the mountains. And so how to kind of bridge that gap while enjoying a lot of the areas could be key. And this connects to water as well. Part of the key areas of work is the South Platte River that, as you know, provides water to 50% of the people in the metro, in the Denver metro area, and the other 50% come from the Colorado River. Not many people know that, and that's why it's so important to actually conserve those water resources, not only for enjoyment and for recreation, but also even for drinking purposes in many of those families. That's number one. Number two, we have been doing for the past 5 to 6 years in our Carpenter Ranch outside of Steamboat Springs. We have been we have a program called LEAF, Leader for Environmental Action for the Future. So during the entire month of July, we bring between 8 and 10 kids from underprivileged families to spend a month in a nature conservancy ranch preserve, and then these are high school kids. And then bring them actually back and follow up with them so they can make sure there's not only a nice vacation for a month, but we can support them throughout the year on being a little bit our environmental stewards. So it's doing both. You know, it's bringing nature to urban spaces, but also from urban, bringing back and connecting them to some of our preserves.
In terms of the voting block then that we're looking at and the changing demographics of voters, particularly here in Colorado, if you don't have that connection to nature, I mean, what are the implications down the road when it comes to environmental policy and the voters who will then be electing people into office who may or may not have environmental stewardship as part of their portfolio?
You're absolutely right. You know, we in Colorado have been very proud of our environmental stewardship throughout the years. Great Outdoors Colorado is one of those examples. You know, lottery money coming between 50 and 60 million dedicated to conservation and the environment. And just imagine those voters, if they're not really, you know, once again, if the environment is not relevant to them at the moment that they vote for the lottery authorization or for anything, you know, policy related, they may not actually be interested in supporting some of these leading cases for the nation and for the world, such as GoCo and lottery funding for open spaces.